Friends, it's a good thing to be in the presence of God, because this is what you are, you and me. We have been created to be in God's presence. Did you know that? Did you know that you've been created to be in His presence? I'm not going to know anything if you just keep quiet. Do you know that you've been created to be in His presence? We see it when God created Adam. Adam had perfect relationship with who? With God. And he walked with God. And the only thing that separated you and me from God is sin. It's sin. And therefore, because we are in a sinful body and sin has tainted our bodies, therefore we need a Savior by the name of Jesus. And only through the cross and only through the blood of Christ do we have perfect relationship now with Father. And therefore you and me can enter boldly into His presence. And therefore this morning we were boldly in God's presence. We came into His presence not like we make it a common thing. But there's a reverence in worshiping God. There's an awe in reverencing God. And this is what we did this morning. And I want to say to you that when the Spirit of God, when He starts speaking in our hearts, we need to react. We need to react because God wants to empower. God wants to set people free. God wants to set you on fire to go and do the things that He has called you to do. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we want to say thank You for Your presence, Holy Spirit. We say thank You that You are in us this morning and that You are also around us. Holy Spirit, this morning do we acknowledge Your presence. And we say thank You. Father, before we go into the Word, we want to ask You, God, that as you speak this morning to us, that the words, that the seed, these life-bearing seeds that You will be giving, we ask that it will come and fall in fertile soil and fertile hearts. That Your seed, that the Word of God will bear much fruit, that it will germinate and bear much fruit. Father, Your Word says to us that our warfare is not carnal, but that it is mighty in Christ. And Father, this morning as we sit here, Your Word says to us, Lord, that we have the power to bring strongholds down. And this morning in unity, do we cast down every stronghold that is over this place now in the name of Jesus. Every demon and every spirit that opposes You, Jesus, or opposes Your Word, and every mindset that is yet not under the feet or yet not submitted to the authority of Christ, we do so now in the name of Jesus. And Father, anything that prohibits these ears to hear Your Word, we command it now in the name of Jesus to go from the place where it's come from. And Father, we say that this place, that this hall, that this ground, that these people are sanctified unto You. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, the reason why I pray that prayer is because what we're going to look is, we're going to look at the dunamis, we're going to look at dunamis. And in the Greek it means power. And what I want you to understand is that there is power from on high that you and me need to become effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. There's a power from on high that we need to move as how Christ has called us to move. And these are things that we normally don't find, that we get, or these are doctrines that we normally find that is not being preached in churches anymore. We don't see it. So there's quite a couple of scripture that I want us to quickly read through. And then from there, what we'll do is we'll start building the foundation and we'll start building the house. And the reason why I prayed this prayer is because everything in you and everything outside of you, so anything in you means flesh, and everything outside of you meaning demonic interference, will try and tell you that what I'm saying is nonsense. Or it will tell you that you don't need it. And I'm telling you this morning that you do need it. You do need the dunamis power of God. All right. Amen? Amen. So, if we can go to the very first slide, or the next one. It's called the basic foundation principles of the Christian faith. And where do we see this? We see this in Hebrews 6. To give you context with regarding Hebrews, what is Hebrews? Who is the writer of Hebrews? We don't know. But what or who did the Hebrew, why did the Hebrew writer write this book or this letter to the church? Because the church was a Jewish church. That's why it's called Hebrews. And the writer wrote this book to this church for one specific reason. And one specific reason alone, because they were about to apostatize. So what does apostasy mean? It's to give Jesus up. It's to deny Christ. Why? Because in the time, there was an emperor by the name of Nero who ruled and reigned. And he was an evil emperor, and he hated Christians. He hated them. So he persecuted them. So what did he do? He crucified them and he put them to a stake. He tortured them. And not only that, in those times, if you were a Christian and you were especially a Messianic Jew or a Jew who converted to Christianity, you had on the other side of the coin, you had your family that was constantly opposing you. So the Jews in this era, they couldn't trade. When they sent their children to school, they laughed at them, they mocked them. When they had a business, their businesses had to close down. Why? Because, if you can say boycotting, they were boycotting them. They were pushing them slowly but surely out of what? Out of the community. Why? Because they professed that they believed in Jesus Christ. So you can see that there are two sides to this. So what did these Jewish people do? Or these Jewish believers do? They looked at this whole scenario in front of them and they said to them, well, you know what? What's easy is let's rather go back to Judaism, because if I'm in there, I'll be accepted by the Jewish people again, by my own people. And then I'll also have the lifting of Nero, the emperor. I'll be lifted. All this constant persecution will not be there anymore. So a lot of them started doing what? Moving back to their Judaic roots. But what's the problem with this? Is if they move back into the Judaic root, they will have to give Jesus up. They will have to say, well, sorry, you are not the Son of God. Yes, you might be a prophet, but you are definitely not the Son of God. And therefore, the writer of Hebrew wrote this letter, bringing these believers to the attention, saying to him, hey, you should be teachers by now. You shouldn't be partaking of milk. You should be partaking of meat. I'm sure you've heard that because it's in this portion of Scripture in Hebrews 5. And then what does he do? Then he rolls it out into Hebrews 6 and he says to them, listen, do we again need to teach you? You know exactly where you've been saved from. Why do you want to go back there? Because of persecution? Why? For what reason? Do we again need to teach you? Now we're getting here. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. What does elementary mean? Elementary mean preschool. In today's terminology, I think it's grade 000. It's something like that. Is that correct? Or elementary? No, it's not. It's actually Graad 1. It's primary school. Exactly. This is where you've been taught the R, B, C, D, the A, B, C, D, and 1 plus 1 is 2 and 3 and all that. What is 1 plus 1? No, it's not. It's either 11 or window. I'll leave it with you. Any case, so therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles. Can you go to high school before you've done elementary school? Good. leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ. So this is the primary school. It's the primary principles of Christ. These are the things that you and me should know. And if we don't know these principles, if these foundation stones are not in place, how will we believe that Christ is risen? How will we believe that if Jesus says that I have given you all power and all authority, go and heal the sick, go and cast out demons? How will we believe it if we don't know these principles, that we have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us, and that God wants to use you and me as vessels of His choice to do what? To go and speak the gospel of Christ, to make disciples, and to baptize them. So therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. The what? The foundation of repentance from dead works. There's your very first stepping stone. Your very first stepping stone of a Christian is to understand what it is, or what does it mean to say repentance from dead works. We'll work through that, but not this morning. The second stone is faith towards God. If you do not know what faith towards God is, how can you believe in Jesus? Verse 2 says, the doctrine of baptisms. Now, this is the one that we're going to get to. We've had a lot of baptisms by water in the last couple of weeks. And as you see how God has been speaking through His Spirit to this church and to the people of this, or to the people of this church, is that God is preparing us to do what? To stir up the gifting within us and to go. To go and do what He has called us to do. If that be it as a missionary, or be that within your workplace, in the sphere of your influence, wherever you find yourself, that is your mission field. You don't need to go to Afghanistan. You don't need to go to Hawaii. That will be a great mission. And I know a church that does it. It's awesome. I don't know how much mission work they do, but in any case. You don't need to go to all these funny places or far off places. Do you know that there are so many people that is within your working environment that do not know Jesus Christ? And I'm talking about a billboard Christ. Do you know what a billboard Christ is? A billboard Christ is you're driving on the highway, there's a billboard and you drive past it. What you do is you get familiar with a billboard. Do you know Jesus? Oh yes, I do. Well, how do you know Him? I don't know. I see His name on the billboard, but I know of Him. But do you know Him? And there are so many people within your workplaces that they've got this understanding, they've got a billboard understanding of who Christ is. Or they believe that if they are in a different religious group, they believe that He is a prophet, but they don't believe that He is the Son of God. That is your mission field. You need to pray for that person. You need to receive boldness within you to go and to declare that Jesus is Lord. Even if it means that you lose your head. Because this is what it is. This is what we have been called for. And it doesn't mean that we now need to step out like Paul. Paul was sometimes so bold that he didn't even hear the voice of the Spirit. Where the people, where God then spoke through people and said, listen, Paul, don't go there. Please don't go there. No, I'm going to go there. No, don't go there. What you need to do is you need to think, Paul. Just come down. We know where you are. We can see the eagerness. We can see the love, the passion. But Paul, what I think what you now need to do is to jump out the window. Not literally, but listen, we're going to lower you down. And once we've lowered you down, then you need to run because this is danger. Do you understand that? So we need to use wisdom. We need to pray. But each and every one of you, we all have got a certain field where God wants us to go and minister. Rocco is ministering under the youth, and the youth suddenly is exponentially growing. So therefore, we all have got a mission field. It's not far off. It's around us. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, first start in Jerusalem. Then you go to Judea. Then you go to Samaria, and then you go to the outer parts. Where's your very first point of contact? Who do you first need to minister to? Exactly, your home and your family. And therefore, once that's secure, then you move out. Amen? Amen. So, the doctrine of baptisms, the third one. Laying on of hands is the fourth one. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Friends, if we do not have an understanding of those principles, how can we go on? How can we say we mature? We are not. Because Jesus, through this writer, says that this is basic. We should know these things. Amen. Good. Next slide. So what is your commission? What is my commission? Matthew 28, 19, 20 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What do you need to do? Baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who is that speaking to? Or who is that speaking of? Is that speaking of you, or is it speaking of only the disciples? To who is that command? To everyone. Why? Because the word says that that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever more. So therefore, when we read the scripture, it says that it is for you and for me. So guess what? Christ has called you to a commission. He says, go. Make disciples. Cast out demons. Lay hands on people. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them the things that I have showed you. Now I'm going to ask you this much. If you don't read your word, and if you don't have an understanding of the word, how will you know what to teach them? So there's a relationship. Amen? Okay. Next one. So why do I say wait? Exactly. Don't read there. So this is what Jesus says. He says to them, I am sending you. But then there's another command that he says, and he says to them, before you go, I want you to wait. Why? Let's read. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Next one. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Just go back. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, if we see, for they appeared on them divided, if you look at verse 4 when it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Hebrews 6, did you see that the word, the doctrine of baptisms, it was plural. It wasn't singular. Did you notice that? Why then will it be plural? There's more than one. Thank you, doctor. You can see he's a doctor. So we get a baptism of water, and then we get a baptism of the Spirit and of fire. Let's read. Next one. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. Can you see? You shall be baptized by what? You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power from, or when the Holy Spirit, let me start over, but you shall receive power when who? The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Just go to the next. I just want to see what's there. Okay, come back. Or you can leave it there. Why am I sharing this with you? Scripture builds foundation. Amen. So if I stood here and I said to you that there are different baptisms, there's one of water, there's one of the Spirit, and then there's one by fire. And if I had to tell you that Jesus went up into heaven and he said that there would be another Holy Spirit coming and that he will baptize you. If I had to explain all this, what we have just read, would you believe me? Would you believe me? All right, Mary says yes. But the rest of you, would you believe me? If you didn't have an understanding of what the Word said, would you believe me? No, you would not. If you didn't have an understanding of what the Word said, you would not believe me. Why? Because baptism. If I had to go and preach this sermon, or if I had to tell people, because I know that there's also a lot of other churches out there, that if you speak of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they don't believe it. They believe that it was for the time of the apostles and of the disciples, and we are no longer in that. But we'll see through Scripture that it is for today. Amen. Oh, any case. So, to build foundation with Word for me is highly important. And did I quote anything out of Scripture or out of context? Not out of Scripture. Everything's out of Scripture. Did I quote anything out of context? So everything flowed. Amen? So hear this. So here Jesus appears to his disciples. He's not dead yet. He hasn't been crucified. He hasn't been resurrected. Jesus then calls his disciples. He shows them who he is through mighty signs, miracles, and wonders. And through this three-year progression, as they walk with him, what happens? He slowly but surely starts teaching them, you have the authority. You have the power. Go. So we see as they go and drive out demons in a certain place, they come back. Oh, Jesus, this is so great. These demons, they listen to us. Wow. And they take him back. And Christ goes, great, yes. Then there's another time where the demons don't want to listen. They come back and say, oh, how the heck does this work, Lord? Why now? He says, well, by fasting, through prayer and fasting, certain ones come out. But what was Christ teaching them? He told them, listen, you have what it takes. I've called you. I've fashioned you for a time and a purpose like this, to do this. Then the other one, we see that as the disciples walk, there's mighty signs, miracles, and healings happening as they walk through their hands and through Christ's hands. Remember, Jesus has yet not died. He's not resurrected. He's not in heaven yet. He's walking with them. So what do we see? We then see that there are, we then see that these mighty signs, miracles, wonders that happen and that move with them. Why? Why did they do this? It's for empowering purposes. That Christ could show them who they were. Just leave it back on there, please. Thanks. When Jesus gets to the cross, what happens? What happens when Jesus gets to this cross where he's now going to be crucified, where they're beating him? There's a specific certain man by the name of Peter that Jesus walks up to. He says to him, Peter, I know you love me, but you're going to deny me. He says, never. Yes, you are. He says, never. In any case, we know the story. Peter denies Christ three times. When these Roman soldiers come to capture Christ, what happens to the disciples, the ones that all these mighty signs, miracles, and wonders cast at him? What do? They run. Alas, bang. They're scared and they run for the hills. Then suddenly what we see is after Jesus, or when Jesus is being beaten, there are people walking up to him and they say to Peter, Peter. Not Peter, but they say, hey, aren't you one of those who walked with him? And what does he say? He says, no, 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 not me. And Jesus denies Christ three times in the face of the adversary. Denies him three times. Then we see something else happening. Then we see when Jesus dies, they go back to what they've done. They go back to their old trade. And then Christ raises from the dead, and he comes, and what does he do? He brings restitution. He says to them, I am here. I'm the one that the prophets, I'm the one that the book of Moses, or Moses spoke of. Can you see me? What happens? They get reborn. You must understand that the disciples were not reborn prior to Christ's death and resurrection, because they were still under law. It's only when Christ died and when Christ raised from the dead that the word Christian, or they called them at those times, the way. But that is only when you were reborn, is because now you need to believe on the only begotten Son of God. All right. So as they show themselves, as Jesus shows himself to the disciples, they get reborn. And all that Christ does is he just brings them all back together again. What does the word Emmanuel mean? God with us. So then Jesus goes, and what does he do? He commands them. He says to them, listen, now that you have been reborn, now that you believe in me, now that you see that I am him, what I want you to do is I want you to wait. I want you just to wait. Don't go out yet. Remember, now Jesus has also given them a commission. He says, go, make disciples. But why does he say, wait? I believe in you. I believe in you, God. I believe that you are the Son of Man. Hey, are the Son of God. I believe in you. You dwell within me. Your spirit dwells richly within me. Why do I need to wait? For what purposes? I've done it before. I can do it again. Jesus said, well, just hang on. Because as I leave, my Father will send you a helper. And this helper will empower you. And that is where that word comes from. It's called dunamis. For my Father will send a helper that will give you dunamis power. And dunamis power isn't just power. It means godly power. It's a different power. And that is why Christ uses these words. He says, I will give you the dunamis power of God so that the things that I have called you to go and do, you will not do it out of your flesh. You will not do it within you, but you will do it because of what my Father gives you. And that is why it's called that the Holy Spirit is in us and around us. And we see that in time, now they go up into this upper room, and as we have read through Scripture, we see that the Spirit of God comes suddenly, it appears like little flames, tongues of flames upon their heads, and then the account is astonishing. What happens is, these men walk out of this upper room. They speak in different tongues. The people that look at them say, you must be drunk. They are not drunk. Why? Because they say, but I can understand that these men, what they are saying. And God gives them certain giftings. That in the tongues that they are speaking, what happens? People understand them. Suddenly they can speak in this language and then that language and then this language. And people just hear this and they go, wow. And then Peter stands up in the midst of all of this. Peter was the one who did what? What did Peter do? He ran away. He was the one who denied Christ a couple of days prior. And what happens is he stands in front of the very same men that crucified and beat Christ. He stands up in front of them and he stands up in boldness. And what does he do? He gives the greatest sermon, or the first sermon of the early church. And it's either 3,000 or 5,000 people that come to Jesus. Why? Did Peter do it because of himself? No. Because prior to the outpouring of the Spirit, Peter was man. Prior to the outpouring of the Spirit, in whose power, in whose strength, would Peter have done this? Out of his own. But because Peter waited for the dunamis power of God to come upon him, to be baptized by the Holy Ghost. The power of God empowered him to do what? To stand up in the time of adversity and to say to them, people, let's get one thing straight. These men are not drunk. For they have waited for the promise of the living God. And by the way, you are the ones that crucified Christ. And he gives this whole sermon and people come to him. Next one. So, what needs to be it's not what needs to be baptized, it's who needs to be baptized in or by the Holy Spirit. That whole sentence just doesn't make sense.
What is needed?
What is needed to be baptized? Sorry, I'm a bit dyslexic sometimes. So what is needed? Do you understand the abode or the foundation that we've laid? Do you understand it? That you and me can do absolutely nothing without Christ, without the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this. Who's reborn here? Who's been reborn? Please put your hand up on high. So therefore, for you, you can lay... Thank you. So if you are reborn, what does Jesus say? Jesus says to you, you qualify to receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You qualify to receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would love to hear an amen. You qualify to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A question is, what comes first? We understand that you have been reborn. Now, if you look at the doctrine of baptisms, a lot of people will say, okay, JJ, you need to be baptized. You need to be reborn, great. But then we get religious people. And then they say, no, you must first be baptized by water before you get the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then certain people will say, no, that will never happen. You must first be baptized in the Holy Spirit and then you need to be baptized in the by water. So there's two types. Who's the first type? Don't put your hand up. All right. But do you agree? These are like silly discussions that we have. It's like silly debates at the end of the day. What comes first? The very first thing that you need to be is reborn, okay? And then thereafter, what you do is, the very command right after that is, you need to be baptized. Doctrine of baptisms, plural. So that is either a water baptism that comes first, or it is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will come second or first or however. So where do we see this in Scripture? Would you like to know? Thank you for asking. Laying on of hands, and God pours out it upon you. So, if you've got your Bible, turn to Acts 10. And the reason why I haven't put it up there is just purely for time's sake. So Acts 10. If you don't, you can listen. Acts 10 verses 44 to 48. So remember, the question is, what comes first? Baptism by water or baptism by the Holy Spirit? Verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. The circumcision is the Jews, or the Messianic Jews who came to Christ. Who they were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So what do we see here? What do we see? Do we see people getting reborn? Do we see the ungodly being reborn? Yes, we see that. We see that that they are cut to their heart. They receive Christ. And then as they receive Christ, the second step, we see the Holy Spirit come upon them. And how do we know that? Because then they started speaking in tongues. And then Peter turned around and said to people, so tell me, who would prohibit these people of getting water baptized? Did you read that?
Yeah.
Amen. So, who believed that water baptism is first and then the other one second? Who believed that? Fantastic. So let's quickly read Acts 19, verse 1 to 10. And it happened with Apollos, was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Oh my smack. Okay. So they don't know what the Holy Spirit is. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So guess what came to their, to them? Repentance. And then what came? What came? They were baptized in Christ. That means they were baptized in? No. They were baptized into water. Listen carefully. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized into water. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Now listen to this. And they went into synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months. Holy smokes. Right, just think, if the Holy Spirit comes upon us for 3 months, all you're going to do is you're going to go to work and you're going to just preach Jesus. Right? Amen? Man, I can't wait for that. Holy smokes. Just think how the church will grow if we just understand the boldness and the power and all these great things that we have in Christ. Man, oh man. And I went into the synagogue, spoke boldly for 3 weeks, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Man, I love that. What did they do? They just didn't say, hey man, Jesus lives in. No. They stood there. They persuaded them. They arm wrestled with the guys. They sweated it out with these guys to make them believe that Christ is who? The King of Kings. Oh, love it. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way. Can you see the way? That's the Christians. Before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew his disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jew and Greek. Hallelujah. So that all in Asia heard of who Christ is. Why? By what? By Paul walking up to a man, saying to him, buddy, in which Holy Spirit have you been baptized? What's the Holy Spirit? So in whose were you? John? Don't you know that Jesus Christ has come? No? Fabulous. Jesus has come. I give my life to Jesus. Fabulous. Then he says, listen, dude, you now need to be baptized. Into water. Out of water. Lays his hands on him. And he says, Holy Spirit, come. Boldness falls this guy. For 3 months walks into a synagogue, arm wrestles and sweats with the Jews. And how many of them come? It's got such a great impact that all of Asia hears of Christ. Simple. So let me ask you again. What comes first? Baptism in water or baptism in the Spirit? It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All that you need is Jesus. That's all. You know, I have spoken to certain people. Man, 40 minutes runs quickly. Yes, like. I have spoken to people. We've prayed for people. I love this. And in a lot of charismatic churches, this is what they do. Karin. I say, and please, and I'm not mocking, but I firmly believe that this is not right. And you are more than welcome to differ with me. But to me, I don't see it anywhere in Scripture. Karine comes to Christ. She's baptized in water. And then we say to her, "Man, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit?" She goes, "Yes." "Do you know what it means?" "No." "Great. It means to become an effective witness for Jesus. To be bold." "Fabulous." So they go, "Holy Spirit, come upon Karine." And then Karine stands and nothing happens. Because now Karine is waiting for this thunder and this lightning. Bang! And nothing happens. She goes, "Well, God doesn't love me." Then you get the guy standing on this side going, "Barababa sondoro babukuru." Just repeat it after me. "Barababa." And then this guy goes, "Doesn't make sense, bro." Because I'm used to speaking sound. What does it mean? You've got it. You've got to just trust it. Speak. Repeat after me. And then this guy looks, "What the heck?" And then maybe after like an hour of trying to convince this person that this person has it, then this person goes, "Bara bara. Bara bara. Hallelujah, you got it, brother." And then for the next 500 years, they go, "Bara bara. Bara bara." That's, you hear me? Friends, don't kick her in. Friends, hear me. Please, I'm not mocking. That's not being baptized in the Spirit. Hear me. It's a faith thing. It's all about faith. If Jesus says to you, you will be empowered from on high, you believe it. You believe it. Mary, please stand up and come and stand next to me. If Mary is reborn, which I know she is, and I say to her, "Mary, for it is God's good pleasure for you to be baptized in the Spirit, to receive the Holy Ghost. Do you want it?" And she says yes. Her heart opens up and God says, "I will give every good gift to my sons and to my daughters to fulfill the commission that I've placed upon them." You see, the only thing that interferes and the thing that comes between you and God is this thing up here, and it's called your brain, it's called your mind. Because you and me, we are so used to saying, "Hi, how are you?" We are so pre-programmed to knowing what we want to say, and we want to hear and we want to understand what we are going to say. That as soon as we say that we are going to receive a heavenly tongue, a new tongue, we're going to say, no. Hang on. What the heck am I saying? I need to understand what I'm saying. So therefore, I can't speak. And it's a gift. It's a gift. I think next week or the week after that, I will speak on tongues. What does it mean? When do we use it? That's when I'll do that. But when we say to God, "God, I want to be baptized by your Spirit," what happens in the spiritual is that you already, when you've received Christ, the Spirit dwells within you. Did you hear me? You don't need water baptism or this baptism to go to heaven. The only thing that you need is you need Jesus. You need the blood to cleanse you. So once the Spirit dwells within you and you are now water baptized and you stand here, what happens in the spiritual is you see that God's Spirit comes upon you and He empowers you with spiritual muscle. And He empowers you to become bold for Him. What does He do? He gives you a different tongue. A tongue that you don't need to understand. You don't need to understand it. But then there are people who get baptized in the Spirit and they stand and there's nothing happens. And they go, "God, you don't love me." No. He does love you. All that you need to do is you need to step out in faith and open up your mouth and speak. We shouldn't be telling the people what to say, because that's not a faith builder. If God says it, we do it. Can you now start understanding why the basic principles, thanks Mary, the basic principles of those first stepping stones, certain stepping stones need to be in place? And when it comes down to the doctrine of baptism, the teaching of baptisms, we need to understand what it says. Do you believe that God created this earth in 7 days or in 6 days? Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Who believes it? Put up your hand. Do you believe it? Then I hope that in this day, that you will believe that when God says that He has called you for a time of this, that He wants to baptize you in His Spirit, that you will walk in boldness, that you will walk in godly power to go and do what? To proclaim the gospel of Christ, that mighty signs, miracles, and wonders will be done through your hands. I want to tell you this, that it's not you doing it, but it is the Spirit of God that empowers you to do it. And with that, God says, for you will speak in another tongue, because we see it throughout Scripture. There's a lot of theology out there that says you do not need to speak in a tongue. But I dare you to pick up your word and to go and read that in every situation, in every occasion where the Spirit of God came upon, where people were baptized in the Spirit, they spoke in different tongues. Please go read your word. Let's just go to the next clip. Now, I want you to get a highlighter. I want you to get a cokie. I want you to get anything that is within your Bible. And I want you to highlight this. Because a lot of people say, I'm sorry, JoJo, those things, sorry, Pastor, those things is dead. Those things were in the days of the apostles. And with this, we're coming to a conclusion. In Acts 2, verse 38, verse 2. It says, then Peter said to them, repent. Can you see repent? Can you see repent? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be what? Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall? You shall? You shall? The gift of the Holy
Spirit.
For the promise. Now I want you to read it. I'm not going to read this. I want you to read verse 39. 1, 2, 3, go.
For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The promise, Paul said, or Peter said, right there. He says, friends, for you that are standing before me, this promise is for you. Oh yeah, and for your families? Oh yes. And for those who are afar off, those who yet do not know Jesus, those who are in the times to come, it is for them too. It is for you in this day. It's the power of God. It's there for you and for me. Jesus said to the apostles in that time, wait, for I will empower you from on high to become effective witnesses for me. The promise is for you and for me in this day again. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord your God will call. Amen.
Amen.
Now my question is this. Who believes this? Who believes that God wants to pour out His Spirit upon you? That He wants you to receive a baptism of His Spirit so that you can become effective witnesses for His name? I believe it. Good. Now, who has yet not been filled? And trust me, this is not now, okay, well, JoJo, you're putting me on the spot. That's not what I'm asking. I'm saying, do you want it, yes or no? Who has yet not been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I want you to come forward, please. We're going to pray with you. Those who have yet not been baptized in the Spirit of the living God, I want you to come forward. If you have been reborn, remember the requirement is rebirth. You need to be reborn. Who of you? Because the Word speaks to us. That we need to continually be filled by the Spirit. Now it's going to come. Who of you wants to receive that outpouring again? Come forward. You see, we are like clay jars. We are like clay jars. We've got little holes in it. And a lot of that, what the Spirit puts in us, runs out. And we run weary and we grow tired. And all that God says is this. He says, I want to just pour out more upon you. Can you remember we spoke about the wineskins? Can you remember we spoke about the wineskins? You've got kainos wineskins. What you're saying to God is, God, I'm standing before you this morning and I'm saying, God, I want more of you. I want this wineskin not to stay in one place, but give me more of who you are. You've got kainos wineskins. God's going to empower you this morning. You're never going to be the same in the name of Jesus. What comes by being baptized in the Spirit? Empowerment and a new tongue. You need to speak it. Jesus says it comes. It's a gift. You speak it. You don't need to understand it, which we will hear in a week or two's time. But what I can say to you this is that you've got a red telephone which the devil hates. Directly unto God's throne room. Where are all the elders? Dion, jy kan maar vorentoe kom. Oom Henny en ander oom Henny, julle kan ook asseblief, julle kan kom bid vir die mense. Jaco, jy ook. Kom, Karin. Ach, gaat jy. Father, let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you for each and every person standing here this morning. My God, I know that you are going to come and do a great and mighty thing within their lives. Father, for you have called each and every one of these people for a time and a purpose like this. Father, for you have called them to commission with you, to walk with you, to labor with you. Father, I pray that in this morning, that within the deep, with deep within them, that life-giving water will be released.
Yes, amen.
And I ask you, Lord, that these people will never be the same in the name of Jesus. Lord, that every day, that when they walk, that you will fill their lips and their hearts with the love of God. That you will fill them with your words. That you will give them utterance to speak. I ask you, God, that you will fill them with boldness. That they will stand up and take their rightful place. I ask you, God, that they will know who they are in you. And Jesus, that you stand behind them. That you are with them. Holy Spirit. That you will come, that you will touch, that you will fill. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I ask the leaders that you will lay hands on each and every person, and you pray, Father, you fill them this morning with the baptism of your Spirit and with fire. Leaders, you pray this with conviction within your, deep within you. If you've got doubt, you don't pray. But this morning, God is going to do a great and a mighty work. Can we pray? We will get to you. You don't go and sit. You wait until we've prayed. You wait until we have prayed. Can we stand? Friends, the question is, what happened? What happened? This is what happened. God took His vessel that He has called for His purposes, and He has empowered you. That's what He did this morning. And hear me now. You never stand back. You never, from this day forward, do you listen to the lie of the devil. When God says you can, you do it. The battlefield is the mind. You're either going to lose it up here, or you're going to stand, you're going to say, Jesus, you set me free. Jesus, you empowered me. And you stand up for Him. And you speak about Him. And you confess Him to people. Because the Word says, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. What God gave you. And you do not believe. It cost Christ much. So therefore, when you can be Jesus to someone, you be Jesus to someone. When you see unrighteousness, you stand up for righteousness and you be verbal about it. When you see someone with a need who is sick, who is in pain, you know what you do? You go up to that person and you lay hands on that person. Why? Because Jesus has empowered you to do it. He's given you all power and He's given you all authority to do it. And you don't be scared. You stand up with boldness. When God calls you into a quiet place, you go. Ons redeneer nie met Jesus nie. When He says come, you come. When He says I long for time with you, you do it. Friends, for the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. It's up to you and it's up to me now to do the will of the Father, to pray, to seek His face, to be in His presence, to read the Word, and to stand up and say, Father, here I am. Use me. Use me. Use me. Father, this morning, do we want to say thank you? Father, we want to say thank you that heaven has come and touched earth. Father, this morning, do we want to say thank you? Father, for the outpouring of your Spirit upon each and every one of us. Father, we want to say thank you that you have empowered us with godly power from on high. Father, we want to say thank you for those who have you of those whom you have refilled again. We want to say thank you, Father, for strength. We want to say thank you for purpose. We want to say thank you for vision. We want to say thank you for hope, and we want to say thank you for joy. Father, from this day forward, we will be bold for you. From this day forward, we will stand up for righteousness. From this day forward, Lord God, we will never, ever believe the lie of the enemy again. But we have received everything that you have given us in this day. That we will preach the gospel. That we will disciple. That we will baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That we will lay hands on the sick and that they will be healed. That we will cast out demons and that they will flee, and that the kingdom of God will come unto the oppressor. And that we will teach and that we will share of the things that we have heard in the quiet place of when you speak to us. In Jesus' name, we love you. We honor you. And we worship you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Friends, I want to say this. It's 11:30. There's such a presence. I want us to sing one more song. If you cannot stay, you're more than welcome to leave. But I want us to sing one more song, and I want us to sing Glorify Your Name.